This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by Aspect Skincare. Simple, effective, cosmeceutical skincare. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. To say this year has been a wild one is an understatement. We've had bushfires, a global pandemic, business closures months on end, and to round it out, Australia has plummeted into a recession. Though we could easily sit back and ask ourselves, well, why should we bother? It's important that we take this year and see it for what it is, an opportunity. It's an opportunity to pause, to be present, to reignite our passion, and to press play on the things that truly do fill our cup. This year has reconfirmed for me the importance of community and collaboration in our industry, and when putting the call out for some inspiring people in our industry to come together, these incredible four women put their hands up. Vanessa Main of Loft Inc., Bridget Benge of Cream Solutions, Faye Murray of Your Coach and Lisa Conway of The Zing Project joined me in a live panel session to provide hope, clarity, strength, and unity for the professional beauty industry. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
Alrighty, we are live. Happy Thursday, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me this evening and everybody who is over on Facebook joining us as well. I know lots of people registered for the session and I am so excited to be able to bring these four incredible women onto your screen today. As we know, everything has been crazy wild in the professional beauty industry, full stop. But then particularly the world, and then specifically Victoria, obviously from Sunday. And when I was sitting on my couch watching the announcement on Sunday, mind you, not a very good time right after Father's Day lunch. Whose idea was that? And I had this moment of Victoria needs us, and who can I get to rally and support and give hope and give strength and provide a little bit of hope to the beauty industry. And I reached out to you four ladies and you all very, very quickly and happily said yes. So I want to give a big thank you. But I also do want to introduce you all. I'm sure the whole entire industry knows all of your faces. But just in case they don't, I shall introduce you. And if you haven't met me, I'm generally on every platform, but my name's Tamara Reid and I'm from Beauty Industry. So I'm going to introduce the lovely Lisa Conway from the Zing Project. So Lisa leads a team of coaches helping salon owners transform their business. With 30 years as a hairdresser and salon owner, hundreds of satisfied coaching clients, dozens of speaking engagement and 3 books, mind you, under her belt, she's giving the hair and beauty industry quite a shake-up. So Lisa is known for her direct, no-nonsense approach for getting real, and I'm sure we'll hear that tonight, and challenging people to step up and take control. And she's worked on the salon floor, led her own teams and made her own mistakes. But now, having known the benefits of business coaching firsthand, she now answers the call, sharing her know-how and firsthand experience. Lisa, welcome.
Oh, gosh, we should have shortened that down, darling.
Always happy to toot your horn.
It doesn't matter. When everyone says nice things about you, just squirm, don't you, anyway. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here amongst these girls.
Thank you. Likewise. And Lisa, today is Are You Okay Day. So I want to start off with a little bit of a tricky question. Obviously, you're in Melbourne. You're right in the midst of everything. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay. Thanks for asking. I actually had a call from a product company rep's wife this morning, and she said, I think we should have a Are You Okay Mums and Dads Who Have Children with Mental Health? And I said, yes. So she called me because she has she's struggling with struggling, I think that's not a very good word, living with a daughter who isn't well, and I'm living with a son who isn't well with mental health. So that on top of COVID, I just think COVID's quite a secondary really for me, but I am okay. Some days I'm not, and so I've got some really good strategies to keep my head above water. But yeah, I am. Thanks for asking.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Next up is lovely Vanessa from Loft Inc. So, as a founder and managing director of the Loft Inc., you have to change that on your
No.
website, naughty Vanessa. Vanessa empowers business owners to maximize commercial performance and thrive in their business. So, Vanessa's story began over 20 years ago with therapy qualifications and in-spa experience when her mature approach and savvy mindset quickly catapulted rather her career to far-flung lands where she traveled the world managing hotel and resort spas for Hilton worldwide, curating innovative wellness initiatives and developing diverse global spa and beauty brands. So above all, a super high achiever who runs at high energy, Vanessa inspires confidence, mentors for change, and nurtures professional development. Vanessa, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Lisa, I feel the same as you. We should have shortened it. It's terrible, isn't it? We feel like that when you read things.
I was fine listening to yours, just not mine.
Well, I was the same with yours.
Vanessa, are you okay?
Yeah, I am. Thank you for asking. I mean, like anyone, as you go through this, and being in Melbourne, you certainly have your ups and downs, and it's not a it's a roller coaster. I think it's yeah, we're just human, and we all go through a plethora of emotions at the moment. And yeah, it's a different world that we're living in. So, but yeah, on the whole, I'm okay. So thank you for asking and checking in. And I've had lots of people check in on me today, and I really appreciate that. It's a great day and a great initiative.
Oh, it's so nice when the people who generally give support are supported back and checked in on. I really love that feeling.
Yeah.
Faye Murray from Your Coach. Faye is business coach specializing in the hair and beauty industry for over 15 years, and where her clients also include regional salons, large city salons, and multi-salon groups. For Faye, it will always be about personalized coaching, and she believes that every salon has different needs and therefore different coaching sessions must be unique to those needs. Faye loves to work with hair and beauty salons to help them grow and become more successful, and the goal is to focus on increasing sales, improving profit, and building a strong and stable team. I absolutely adore that. Welcome, Faye.
Thank you, Tamara. I don't know where you got that from, but anyway, like the other
All
guys,
off your websites.
whenever I'm being introduced, if I'm going on stage, I always write something that's really short because I stand and I think, just get off so I can get on. But thank you, Tamara, for asking me.
Oh, my pleasure. And are you okay?
Do you know, I'm the only person who has actually had contact face to face with clients today because I get to go to Newcastle for 1 week a month, and I've had 3 days in Newcastle, and today I started in Newcastle. I'm home now. So I saw three wonderful clients. So for me, I feel very blessed that I'm still able to work as I normally, or not normally, because I'm doing everybody else with Zoom, but I love my face-to-face. And the other thing that I realized when we were preparing to come live is that I'm the only person without a regrowth. Because the girls from Victoria all haven't got hairdressers, so they're all doing all sorts of tricky things to cover up those regrowths. So you can spot the New South Wales and the Queenslander. Tamara, you haven't got a regrowth, but the other
Me
girls have.
too, guilty.
Yep, that's one way of spotting the Victorians.
Thanks, Faye.
Thank you, Faye. And last but certainly not least, we have Bridget Bend from Cream Solutions. Bridget began coaching beauty pre Goodness words, coaching beauty industry professionals in 2005 with just a few clients on her books, but it wasn't long before she was coaching hundreds of salons and hundreds more therapists. Bridget's academic qualifications, together with her business hands-on salon experience and coaching expertise, have guided many salon owners to turn their salons into successful businesses real businesses where high turnover, high productivity and high client and staff retention are achieved, which is absolutely incredible. Welcome, Bridget.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for asking me to come here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to do our part.
Amazing. And apart from the regrowth, are you okay?
You know, I'm glad you've asked us that question, because if you asked this question 2 days ago, I would have said, yep, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm hanging in there. And it wasn't until yesterday, you know, you just go, you keep going, you just keep going. And I actually passed out. And I thought that I was having a heart attack, but in the end I wasn't. And I realized that even when we think we're okay, we may not be, because as I said, I would have said to you, I am okay. I'm fine. I think I'm coping. I'm being strong. I'm doing what I need to do. And I think that it's really important that everybody reaches out, because half the time we don't even know we're not okay. And it's not that I'm not okay as such, but I'm doing more than I should, right? And I think that we've all got to step back a bit and share, you know, and reach out to people. So today was the first day that I've taken off in, I don't know, I can't tell you, months and months and months, meaning including weekends, like I've been working right through. So it's just good to know that it's hard. Like, it is hard. And anybody who's doing it hard, we're doing it hard. And we understand and we empathize. And we're all here. And I want to thank you. I want to say it again, Tamara. You bring the industry together. You have done something for the industry that has been missing and we didn't even know it was missing until you brought it to us. Right. And now we know this, just how amazing it is. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's good. It's so deserved that you have a day off. And it's sad that we have to get to that breaking point before we actually realize, okay, maybe I need to slow down a little. I just want to mention too, we have about 100 people over on Facebook. So hello.
Oh, nice.
For anybody that has questions, we will be going through some questions that we prepared prior to give hope and strength and unity for the industry. But if you do have any questions for the amazing ladies, please type them into Facebook and let us know. And I'm monitoring the questions over there so we can ask them in a Q&A session just at the end, or if you feel like sharing this onto and tagging all of the people in here that we've mentioned, please do that as well, because obviously when your businesses struggle, our businesses struggle as well. So the more that we can all help each other, the better. So I'd like to kick off with our first question. As we know, the pandemic has been pushing us to remain positive during this time. And we have all been saying, you know, hold on, and we're going to get there in the end. I'd like to just throw this out to all of you, and whoever kind of feels comfortable first can jump in. How can we remain positive when the light at the end of the tunnel is so dim, it's almost impossible to see? How can we remain onto that hope, or hold on to that hope? Remain hopeful.
I can start that off if you'd like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm bringing back a really old cliche line. You know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And this is really calling for us. This is really calling for us to step up and be tough. And they may have shut down your doors, your businesses. They may have shut down your salons in the doors, but they haven't shut down your business. And life is still going on. People are still using their skincare. People are still running out of skincare. People still need your advice. And you need to establish a virtual business, right? For now and forever. Don't sit around and wait until this is over, because it's not going to be over for a long time. But just be strong. And you know, again, fake it until you make it. Just keep saying, I'm strong. I'm going to do this. Not me. I'm not going down. Talk to yourself and don't go into that, you know, don't go into the Facebook pages that everybody's talking doom and gloom. Don't do that. Go to the Facebook pages that everybody's being positive and helpful, and, you know, everybody wants to help. And just one thing I want to say to everybody, different to any recession, anything in the world that has ever happened to us, for the first time, this is not happening to our industry. This is not happening to our state or our country. This is happening to the world. So we are truly all in the same boat, right? Which means that there's going to be a lot more empathy, a lot more care, a lot more patience, and a lot more unity and community. And reach out, like reach out, right? Especially if you're doing it hard. Like if you're doing it hard, don't do it hard on your own. Reach out. There's many of us that can help.
Yeah, really wise advice there, Bridget. And it's really interesting what you said there about the words and what we tell ourselves. It's like when somebody says, don't forget to take your sandwich for lunch, and you forget it. Whereas if you say, remember to take your sandwich for lunch, they will remember that. So I think the language that we use and we talk to ourselves in our mind is really, really important, because generally there is a lot of chatter going on in the mind there. Faye, how can we remain hopeful?
Tamara, in preparing this, and I actually sent through a little message while we were just about to come on to say that I was feeling quite emotional about what I was going to share and what I could think of to share, because I can't imagine really what it's like day to day. Bridget, you've just expressed, you know, some of your experience, but I really can't imagine it. But what I guess I've tried to do with people that I've had contact, whether they're friends or whether they're clients, I've tried very consciously, not so much what I say, but how I make people feel through what I say. I've been very aware of that. And I've started all conversations with, I mean, how you say something can have an effect on people. And I very much tried to initiate conversations with some degree of positivity. But I had an interesting thing that happened to me last Monday. I rang one of my clients who I just adore, and I have a really good personal relationship, and I have been speaking to him once or twice a week, not coaching, but just chatting. And I rang him and we had a chat. And at the end of it, he said to me, "It is so good just to have a chat to you. It is just so good." And he had asked me during the conversation what I thought he could do to keep himself busy. And I said to him, "Why don't you pick 5 of your favorite clients? You know, the ones you enjoy. You look at the book or you look at the appointment schedule and you go, they're coming and I really enjoy them. Pick them and do exactly what I've done to you. Ring them and have a chat." And he said, "Do you know what? That's a good idea." And he rang me on Tuesday afternoon. He said, "I've rung 2 of my clients. I'm so glad I did." He said, "We chatted for about an hour." And he said, "It made me feel good. It gave me something to do and it made them feel good." So I think it's thinking about these things, these connections, but as Bridget said, in a positive way, trying to turn things around so they're positive. So hopefully that might give some other people some ideas that have joined us today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think between the news media, social media, conversations we're having in our house, conversations we're seeing online, everyone's talking about the same thing. And that is just a lot of pressure on us all. So I love that, just having a normal conversation, you know, trying to think about normal things like hair, for example. You know, that's perfect. Just get off the topic for 5 minutes, half an hour, and you might feel better. Good advice there.
And it gives you something to do. Yep.
Yeah, especially if you're in lockdown.
Yeah.
For me, it's about the boundaries that you need. You know, like I often give this advice for people who are going through a divorce. I say the divorce is going to happen, right? Now, whether you're going to be settled in, you know, 18 months time and it's going to be amicable, or it's going to take 6 years and it's not, you know, they're both outcomes, right? So if you can just put some guidelines around it, and if you make a rule that you will only talk about it for a period of time and then not the rest, right? Because I think if we're not careful, it would consume our whole day. Now, I'm not a commercial television watcher much anyway. Like I wouldn't watch Today Tonight or anything like that. I just feel like I'm here by myself. My partner's in Queensland with a dog. So I do need something, you know, I do like. So I've just had the best time with podcasts, you know, but it is a bit easy to go, "Well, I wonder what the count is today." So then you put on the television, before you know it, an hour and a half has been sucked out of you. And then you're starting to go, "Wow, this is really shitsville." And you can sort of get caught up in that. So if you just allow yourself a certain amount of time to keep in touch with the world and find out what's going on, but if you just get on with what it's going to do and think, well, what's the worst case scenario? If you had to close your business and go out of business, which is quite realistic for some people, let's map that out. What does that look like? And would you survive that? right? Or if you could continue, but you might have to scale back and there's going to be things that are going to happen, what would that look like? It's almost like if you go to the worst extremes of the fear and then think about, would I survive it? Yeah, I would. You know, so I say the same to people who are on IVF or something. What if you don't get a baby? Will you still be able to live your life? So they think about not getting the baby and then they think, well, actually I could travel and then I could do this and I'll get another dog. And so then they can actually get excited about if it doesn't happen. So your business is only part of you. It isn't you, and you could start again in another time. You could do something. So sometimes just think about the worst scenario and could you live with it and then work back from there, right? So if you don't have a plan or you don't have a map, then it's pretty every day is a bit, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. What we do know is that we've got, you know, I say affinity mapper. So if we were to put down all the things, if you had 6 weeks where you didn't do any clients, what would you do? Like, you know, be careful what you wish for because we've just got it. So what about your price structure? You know, what about some manuals that you want in your business? What about? And so a lot of those things don't cost you anything, but they will take up your time. So if you were to map out maybe, you know, 3 hours in the morning, then you could have the afternoon off, but make the routine that 3 hours, I won't answer the phone, I will do that. Because it's pretty easy to be there for everyone now because you don't have a business, right? But if you were to say, imagine if you got that done, then how good would that look in 3 weeks' time when that procedure manual's done, if that's what you want, or your training manual's done, if that's what you want, or your client journey. You know, I call it the sausage factory. What happens when they come in and all the points that happen, you know, and calling them up and all of that. So if you thought about all the things you want to get done and put them all on the wall and then start putting them in order and just kind of bite your way through all the way to the end, you know, and then all of a sudden you've got something to get on with. You've addressed that what could happen if the shite hit the fan. And then it's not, it's like the sharks, you know, I'm only frightened of sharks because I can't see them. You know, I'm not frightened of other things that I can see, but the shark you can't see. So if you can actually look at what going out of business looks like and you're okay with it, then there isn't a shark. You've seen it. And then work back from there. So it's kind of going to the edges, to the extremes. Be careful of the brain food that you put into your brain. And that can also not just be the television, that can be the people you hang around with. So if your mother's a negative Nancy, maybe she gets 15 minutes a fortnight, you know, and you've got a girlfriend who's wonderful, maybe she gets unlimited time. You know, maybe you've got a husband who's also struggling, so we just confine that to 1 hour. But boundaries around everything, and be open with your family and saying, I'm not coping at the moment. I'd like to only talk about these subjects and I don't really want to talk about these subjects. You know, that I find that's quite helpful.
Yeah, and putting in personal boundaries. I think a lot of people don't know their own personal boundaries as well. So that's really helpful, just understanding how to navigate that and, making sure that we are spending time with people who lift us up and support us and feed us positively, mentally. Vanessa, how can we remain hopeful?
Yeah, I think some of the other things, it's no doubt that it's, for Victoria particularly, it's been an extended lockdown and there are days where fatigue, you know, comes into play and there's lots of other responsibilities that are landing on our lap that weren't there before. Homeschooling, you know, the whole dynamic of life has sort of changed. And it's also about, you know, managing your team and you as well. So, you know, as you go through that, I think with the layers of uncertainty that are there, sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we put so many expectations on ourselves of we've got to be doing this and we've got to be achieving that. And then that gets sort of distorted by all of the messaging that's going on out there and that uncertainty just kind of kicks in and we feel a little bit sort of out of control in a way. I think focus on the things that you can control and really give those areas some time and attention and just focus on small steps, just small, the next step, just really small little things that keep that forward momentum kind of going for you. And sort of managing your own energy around that. And I think it's about partly being realistic. There's a whole bunch of responsibilities that weren't there before. They will take time and that means that you might not have all of that time to put into your business. That's okay. It's just reality right now. So I think just acknowledging that and being a little bit kind to yourself as well in that sense.
I found people, there's one or two people, one of two people rather, there's the person who wants to just go gung-ho and keep working and just be really distracted and proactive. And then there's the other person who is just completely exhausted and just wants to sit on the couch for the next 3 months and do Netflix. You know, and both is okay because everybody is so completely different in how we react and respond and we take on mentally and emotionally these things that are happening in our life. It's hard enough sometimes for people to motivate themselves pre-pandemic, pre-2020 craziness. It's sometimes hard enough to motivate yourself to get out of bed or to go for a run or, you know, to eat healthy or to work on your business. And now we've got world upside down, businesses closed, we can't hug, we can't touch, we can't, you know, have normal conversations and coffees and things with people. Do you have any advice or tips on how to motivate, you know, how to self-motivate and how we can motivate others in our team and around us? Faye, I might go over to you for this one.
Look, I think that it's already been mentioned by a couple of the girls that surrounding yourself with positive, or choosing to surround yourself with positive people. And as Lisa said, make a choice. If you do have someone that is perhaps a relative, you can't say, I'm not going to talk to them, but minimalize the time. Podcasts, I also listen to podcasts. I think that's really helpful. I think we've changed. I've been saying we're in a different world. And when we've come into a different world, we're going to go out into a different world. And communication, the way that we communicate, I think can be advantageous to people who work in an industry like ours, in that we can now speak to clients, we can speak to people who are prospective clients or people we just want to connect and educate in such a different way through online. It's become so acceptable. And so, but it's interesting, I think, the number of people that don't use what's available. They either don't know how to access it or they don't have a network that shares. Like in our network, we're always saying, oh, have you seen this? Have you done this? Are you following this person? And often that's not available to a lot of people, particularly in regional areas or in smaller salons. So I guess that simplistically, surround yourself with positive people. And when I like to start conversations, this comes back to how you make people feel. I think there's two ways to say the same thing. I can say to you, Tamara, how are you going, Tamara? Are you okay? Is it really tough? Are you feeling bad? Or I can say, Tamara, how are you going? Is it really tough? Are you doing okay? I'm saying the same thing to you, but one is going to make you feel that there's hope rather than, oh God, it's really bad. So I try very hard to start every conversation with some degree of positivity. Mm-hmm. And I did notice on someone's social media the other day, or several people, that they said, people in the other states don't understand us. You know, you're sitting there, but you really have no concept. We understand that we don't understand you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can still start conversations. I put a happy colour on. I've been in black all day and I thought I'm going to put a happy colour on to try and make everyone feel a little bit better. I put lipstick on. I did my hair. I'm trying to make people feel better. I don't know whether I'm succeeding or not, but I'm doing my damnedest to chuck my bit in.
You are.
And I think you also need to be checking in on yourself. Like, you can't surround yourself with negative people if you're a grumpy bastard. Like, it doesn't work like that. You know? You get the company you deserve. But I also think, for me, it's routine. And I think, what could I do in this first 6 weeks? You know, what could I do? And so to me, everything's got to wait. I'm first, because if I don't look after myself, I can't look after anyone else. So, you know, I'm really close to having 12 months off. So I'm very excited to have a gap year. But I think you've got to step back, because people do things for you if you let them. It's no different to the salon. You know, they're hogging the ball and they won't let the other team members do things. Well, this is the same. You know, we all need to step back and let someone else do something. And I think it's really important that, you know, I would not walk. I'm going to go around the kitchen when I finish, because I'm up to 19,000 steps today. So I like to get to 20, and that's a lot. So, you know, I can talk and do a lot of my work on my phone while I'm walking, and I walk into the city and I walk back. So, you know, like Faye says, listen to podcasts. There's one there that you've got to listen to. It's the best. It goes for 2 hours. It's on YouTube, The Cure for Laziness. It is the best. It's all the famous actors and actresses giving their best points on how to get your ass off wherever it is and get going. It is the best. And I started in the morning and I do a really good job. And then at nighttime, I think, oh, well, I have a glass of wine. I've been good. So I've started listening to it in the evening as well. And it'll just get you out of your own road. So I don't know. Why do you think that you should do it on your own? Like, being a leader can sometimes be quite lonely. And I think that you need someone to check in with you, the same as if you've got a walking buddy. You know, if you don't feel like going, well, no one knows. But if you have to ring the buddy and say, I don't feel like going, she'll go, yes, you are. Come on, we're going. And then you go, you know. And that's why, look, we're all coaches. We're coaches because we believe in coaching. You know, every diet out there works. What doesn't work is people can't stick to it. And coaching's the same. Your business, if it's not working, what are you not sticking to? You know, what have you done once for 5 seconds and then said that didn't work? What about you tweak it and go back? So I don't believe you can see yourself because your eyeballs go out that way, right? So a golfer can't see swing. You need someone to stand beside you. So, you know, even FaZe rang me on occasion and said, what about this, Lise? Do you think I'm being a little bit hard? And I go, no, I've had trouble with that one too. You know, so we're not competitors. There's abundance of clients that need our help. Our biggest problem is clients going, can you help me? That's the biggest problem. We all know, we'd all agree, once they come to you, can you help them? Mm. Yes.
Yes.
The only problem is their ego won't let them come to you, or their pride, or they're concerned about lots and lots of things. But if we all help them, they'll succeed. It's that simple. You know, I wouldn't have come on this group if I wasn't happy with the work of the women on this group, right? There's some that I wouldn't go on. But this group is, you know, we've been around since Jesus played fullback for Collingwood. And we have a good reputation. Maybe I'm just talking about myself and Faye, girls. But, you know, put your hand up. It's okay to get a buddy. It's okay to get help because it works. You just have to apply the learnings.
I'm having lunch with a coach tomorrow because we live quite close and we've reached out to each other and said, let's do lunch. So she's driving 100 kilometres, I'm driving 100 kilometres, and we're going to meet and have lunch. And that's Louise May, and a lot of you know Louise. She's a gorgeous girl. So I'm so excited. I can't wait to have lunch with Louise tomorrow.
But this wouldn't have happened without Tamara, right? So this is the good that's happening right now. So I'm thinking of Tamara as like an MC. You know, she's not the bride, she's not the groom. She's just getting the guests together, and she's the MC. You know, so it's a wonderful thing. I don't believe this would have happened without what's happening at the moment. So, you know, look for the diamond. You know, there's an old saying that two kids get a pony for Christmas. They want a pony for Christmas, and they wake up in the morning and they're standing at the front door, and all they can see out the front is a big pile of horse manure. And one kid bursts out howling and runs inside and says, Santa brought me a pile of shit, no horse. And the other kid runs into the garage and gets the shovel and says, with all this horse manure, there's got to be a pony under there somewhere. And he starts digging.
And that's a great analogy as well for you know, advice for Melbourne business owners to connect with perhaps somebody that's outside of Melbourne, because if you connect with somebody that's still in Victoria, you're going to be having the same conversations. But if you connect with someone who's in Perth or Brisbane or Queensland or, you know, the Northern Territory, whose businesses are open, well, then they're going to be motivating you. They're going to be pushing you, and they're going to be giving you, you know, that support.
There's never been a better time to be in business. I can tell you that now. If you are dead serious and you want to continue, all of the women on this call will take a call from you and we will help you. Right? We've got a coaching program for the Melbourneites that don't even pay until they open again. So if you don't come forward, what's your problem?
Yep.
Like, there is nowhere to hide. Every one of these girls will help you. So just put your hand up and say, actually, I don't know everything.
And that's the exact same for everyone who's in our community as well. There's 6,000 people in there who are more than happy to answer a DM or, you know, like a photo or, you know, give you that response. Bridget, what's your tip on motivation? And you, I know you work with a lot of teams. How can business owners motivate their team when they're not motivated?
I think one of the most important things to do, especially for the Victorian salons, is to try and bring any level of normality that they can to every day. So at a personal level, get up, get dressed, make your bed, proper clothes, proper shoes. You know, you don't have to put makeup on, but just do things that make you get out of bed and feel happier. And then work out, like, plan 1 week at a time, a connection with your staff, right? What are we going to do today? There's so much that you guys say you don't have enough time. Well, now you've got the time, you know, and as Lisa said before, be careful what you wish for. So the policies and procedures manual, yes, let's tackle it. And maybe give every staff member, allocate these policies. You work on this, you work on that, you work, like, give everybody a job. Ask the therapists to each write a blog. Tell them the names of the blog, right, or the topics, or just research it for me, or whatever it is. There is actually a lot to do to work on the business. Read the book, The E-Myth. Read The E-Myth, right? It's one of the most important books on systems. And you have the time to do that. But like I said before, connect with your staff. Get them to work every single day. They must work. And you need to tell them what time. Like, give them a time. Like, allocate the time and give them the time. Let them support you as well. And just quickly, I want to say something. One of my clients gave me this idea. So this is not my idea, by the way, but there's that cupcake factory place that today was delivering cupcakes that said, "Are you okay?" And she made the decision to just deliver them to her staff. And I just thought that was just the nicest thing that I'd ever heard. And I decided to do the same, but I bought it for my neighbors. I've got two elderly neighbors, and then I've got a couple next door who the wife's not well. And it was, the response was amazing. You know, how appreciative they were. And I gave some to my son to deliver to his friends. And I think it costs us nothing. So when it comes to your staff, do something nice, like do something completely out of the ordinary that they really and truly don't expect. And to do nice things doesn't necessarily have to cost you. It doesn't have to be money, right? Like the cupcakes for me didn't cost all that much money, but there's other things that we could do to reach out. But it's going to be hard. When we're back at work, you know, late November, hopefully, when we're back at work, they've been out of work for a long time. The skill levels would have dropped. The memory would have dropped, especially the skin salons, right? So you've got to keep the momentum going. That's my word for this pandemic, is momentum. Do whatever you can do every day that your girls remember who they are, what they do, and what their job is, and get them involved in some way, right? Even if you have just meetings. But the other thing is you've got to have your virtual consultations going all day, every day.
Yeah, lots of good points in there. The E-Myth is one of my favorite books. I probably reread it at least twice a year. Yeah. The first person who comments E-Myth on this thread, I'm going to send it to you. Vanessa, your tips on motivation. How can we motivate ourselves when we're feeling a bit down, and how can we motivate others?
I think that, motivation is a tricky one in many ways, because it's really about, when we're sort of low on motivation, we feel quite stuck. And the biggest thing that I sort of find when you feel quite stuck is just about, once you take that first step and you move into action, you actually start that forward momentum and you sort of get out of that place. A lot of people that I talk to, there's all the things that they want to do and everything that's kind of going on, they tend to hold in their head. When we hold it all in our head, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it feels quite overwhelming when it's like that. So once you get it out, even just by getting it onto paper and out of your head, and it starts to become, you know, tangible, it doesn't seem quite as big, and you start to actually kind of feel better about it. And it's just then tackling that kind of first step and being able to kind of move forward, and it just starts that roll again. And it doesn't matter how often you do that, but it just keeps you kind of moving. And I think that it's, you know, the other side of it also is that there's always lots to do, you know, in business and other things, but it's also about how are you actually replenishing your own energy. You know, when you're leading a team, you're leading a family, you've got all of those responsibilities that we're carrying in a time like this. It's like, what actually fuels you and kind of fills your cup? And I think you need to make sure that you're focusing some time to that, so that you can put the oxygen mask on yourself a little bit first, and, you know, be able to, you know, to be that person. And sometimes, you know, I think, and I don't know if it's because we're women, we do it more, but there's that nurturing side in us that we've got to take care of the team. We've got to take care of everyone. We're sort of the fixer. We feel like we need to be doing all of that. And we tend to put ourselves last in that sense. And I think in this, you know, we really need to make sure that you're finding time to replenish and put yourself first to be able to kind of move forward. And some of the things that I think are great with team as well is like give them a buddy. So buddy them up where they've got someone that they check in on each other, and it doesn't all fall back on you as the leader or the business owner, but they've got someone that, you know, is just checking in, and yeah, it can be helpful in that sense.
After the break, we talk about leading through exhaustion and why the ladies are excited for the remainder of the year. But first, a word from today's Beauté partner. Combining active ingredients with dynamic Australian botanicals, Aspect Skincare is the skin professional's dream. Launching this month is Pigment Punch Body, a luxurious illuminating body cream that helps to minimize the appearance of uneven skin tone while targeting areas of the body that show signs of aging, the newest product release from the team at Aspect Skincare. For your chance to win an Aspect Skincare Bright Skin Essentials Pack of your very own, consisting of the new Pigment Punch Body, Pigment Punch Plus, Super PD Complex, Illuminating Polish and Envirostat On-The-Go SPF 50, visit aspect.aspectskincare.com/beautepodcast to enter the draw. That link is also in our show notes if you'd like to click through to enter. Pigment Punch Body, the luxurious illuminating body cream right before summer, is something our bodies are craving, so now is the perfect time to win this pack as a little treat to yourself. Thank you so much to Aspect Skincare for making this episode of the Beauté Industry Podcast possible. And now back to the panel.
I know we've spoken about hope and we've spoken about motivation, and they tie quite similarly in, you know, with all of their answers, and as does leadership. But we've seen some people who have been great leaders through this pandemic, and we've seen people who have not been such great leaders. I'd love to hear your advice on what makes a good leader and how we can show up as a leader in our business, regardless if we have a team or not. Lisa, I might start with you.
Yeah, I think there's only one job of a leader, and that's to create leaders, right? So your job is to, I think, as a leader, is to step away. And that's something that we have to work really hard in this industry, because they do a lot of this. And I say, Faye, can you do this? And I'm going to give you a task. And then just as she puts her hand out, I go, that's all right, I'll do it. Be quicker, I'll do it. And so if that's the case, what you're saying is, oh, I don't think I can trust you. I don't know. Look, I'll just do it myself. But, you know, it doesn't, long term, it sends so many more messages. What you actually say through your mouth is only 6% of what you say, right? So the rest of you is body language. It's, you know, like I remember this girl saying she used to roll her eyes when the team leader would discipline her, and she'd go, mm. And I said to her, that's saying get F. She goes, no, it's not. I said, it is. So when you do that, that's what you're saying to her. So she wouldn't say that to me, but she'd say it to the leader. So what you've got to do is teach the leader to deal with her, because I could fix it like that. It wasn't a problem. But that's where a good leader steps back and teaches someone else to lead. And that's why you can step away and have a business, whether you're there or not. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, and if you are doing the same in your business where you're hogging the ball and you're doing everything and you think they're the only one who can do it, you know, I say they have long necks like meerkats and they're looking like that. And I think, what are you doing? You know, you're sort of sending a message. So to me, a great leader will lead. A great leader will let someone else help you with the decisions. A great leader will let someone else step in, and they will have a day off, and they will say, it's okay, I'll leave it to you, and allow people to fail and fail forward. You know, when people fail, that's just before the growth. You know, if you're in the gym and you're pumping, you know, they'll say six and you go five and then six, and that's where the growth happens, just at that last really strenuous part. If you do six like this, nothing happens, you know. So growth comes from failure, and that's where we've got to just step away, like your children, let them crash a little bit and go, oh, well, now what are you going to do? How are you going to fix it? And to me, that's what a leader does.
Yeah, amazing words. Faye, what does leadership look like to you, and what have you seen in the people who are doing it well during this time?
Tamara, one of the things that I always share with people is that leadership's a learned skill. The same way if you're a beauty therapist, you learnt how to do a leg wax. If you're a hairdresser, you learnt how to do foils. Somebody teaches you how to do it. And all of us as coaches know that when we first start working with someone, perhaps it's someone that's just bought a salon for the first time, they know nothing about leadership, absolutely nothing. And there's two ways to learn. They can learn from somebody who's done it before and made the mistakes like all of us, and or they can do it themselves and make the mistakes and hopefully learn from the mistakes. But it's definitely a learned skill. And you, in our industry, we manage clients pretty well, I think, mostly. I think everyone manages clients pretty well. Managing staff, I say you'll never, ever, 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 ever get that one right, because every day there are new challenges and you have to manage each one of them very, very, very personally. So management, I think, is a journey that we're on. I'm still learning from it. I learn something new every day and I learn it from my clients. They share something with me, because I never use the word tell. They share something with me and I think, do you know what? I didn't know that. Do you know what? That's something that I can use to share with other people. So I think acknowledging that it is a learned skill and we continue to learn if we keep our minds open every day that we work with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so wholeheartedly sit with you there. I remember when I was exiting out of a director role and somebody else was coming in, and it was a large business and we had 16 on the team, and every day she would come in, we did a handover. And I'm still speaking to her now, so she won't mind me sharing this story, don't worry. But we did about a month's handover, and every day she would come in and say, okay, I need to learn how to do the towels and the computer and the finance and this and that and this and that. And I said, your job for the whole month is to learn the team and know who you're dealing with and understand these personalities and get them on your side. You will learn the computer, you will learn how to fold the towels, but right now you need to learn the people and the team in the business. So yeah, couldn't recognize how well that sat with me, Faye. Vanessa, what about yourself? You do lots of global speaking, and I'm sure there are incredible leaders that you work with every single day. What are they doing right?
I think it's, you know, and particularly during these times as well, it's you know, quite different. I think being very kind of transparent and, you know, quite vulnerable in a way, in the sense that you don't have to get it right all the time, and you don't want to build that expectation. So it's also about encouraging. I think a good leader is about bringing people forward and allowing them to learn and to try new things and to communicate in a way that makes them feel comfortable, and that it's not about right and wrong. It's about, you know, it's a learning experience, and from every learning experience comes growth and comes opportunity and comes confidence. You know, what Faye was saying, it's kind of a learned skill. It's about, really, fear stops us in a lot of ways. And so it's about, the more that I do, the more that I, you know, learn, and the more that I feel confident around those sorts of things. Where as humans, I think sometimes we focus on, I want to do it right and I want to be perfect. And that's not always the case. And when it comes to leading a team, you know, I always say that your team will be, you know, your biggest challenge and your greatest reward. So it's about balancing what that looks like. And, you know, and I think that it's kind of, there's a personal aspect, you know, when people are kind of doing that. And I think it's about, Lisa talked about it before in terms of boundaries and things like that. We take often experiences that happen in leadership very personally. And it's really not about that. It's really around having those boundaries and kind of being able to deal with them, you know, as they arise. Those things are not personal. It's situational, and being able to then deal with that, I guess, and move forward allows you to, I think, rise and be better, you know, and definitely kind of step forward. I think the other thing is that a good leader has an open mind and they ask questions and they get really curious about things, and there's always things to learn, you know, and I love having conversations with people where, similar to Faye, it's like you learn every day. You know, I learn from my clients and every conversation that you have. And I think it's about being open to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Bridget, you have a program where people actually learn leadership. So I feel like you're almost writing the book on leadership as we go. How have you found people have navigated this time?
Well, first, I just want to give a little bit of a piece of advice. You know, when you decided to be a salon owner, when you decided to hop off being an employee and you decided to be a business owner, you also made a decision to be a leader, right? Because that's what that's the decision you made. You want this for yourself, therefore you're going to have people working for you, therefore you're a leader. And I think that your leadership, you being a leader, you need to step up now more than ever. You need to, you know, there's that saying, follow the leader. So you want to be that person that your staff are looking at. And even when you're hurting, even when you're sad, even when you're scared, and most of us are, I want you to be honest with your staff, but they're not the people to talk to, because if you're scared, you're going to scare them, right? You've got to be the inspirator, the person who inspires them and motivates them. And I think that, and if you get into that role, and as face it, there's no such thing, or there are born leaders. Some people are born leaders, but mostly it's a learned thing. And you know how to be a leader. You know, when the therapist says something, she does something wrong, you don't say anything to her, but you go home and you tell your husband and you start yelling at him and you say, you wouldn't believe what she said, you didn't. And you say, you know what to do. You just didn't do it, right? But you know what to do. You know what's right. You just didn't put into practice what you know. And I think that what you have to do is sit back, start thinking about it, start using this time and thinking of yourself as a leader, because that's what you signed up for, right? That's what you said, I want to be when I decided to open up the doors to my own business. And again, if you don't know how to, go and get the help, right? Like it's an amazing role, leadership. Like it's an amazing role. And leading millennials and Gen Zs now, it's really not bad. It's really amazing if you truly understand them. You know, I love the people that complain the most about millennials are the parents of millennials, right? Like, I'm, you know, I say to my half my clients, I say to them when they complain about them, I go, well, who do you think raised them?
That's right.
We created these monsters, right? Like this is our product. So, but if you really look into these people, they want to be that for you, but they need you to lead them there. We expect them to know too much to do by themselves. We need to lead them there. And I believe that the millennials and 100% the Zs, right? I've got a millennial son and I've got a Z son. Personally, I think the Zs are like spot on. They will do what you want to do. You just have to learn to speak at their level, their language, sorry, not their level, their language. And it's not that hard. And half of you do have the kids at home. Like they're sitting there, they're, you know, driving you mental at home. So it's a time to step up.
I think you're absolutely right. I know I'd rather work with a 27-year-old salon owner than a 47-year-old salon owner.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of undoing to be done.
Yeah.
And I think, well, how'd you get to 47? And now you want help. Like, why? That's the first thing I say. Where have you been? You know, whereas someone who's 27, they're like plasticine. I love them, you know. And they are like my children. I've got twin boys, 28, and my daughter's 30. And they don't want to work like a dog. They don't. They're smart enough to not do that. And good on them. You know, they're handing down, well, I scrub the floor. You can scrub the floor, you know, that's gone. And I don't think we ever want to treat, I wouldn't like anyone to treat my children like that, that's for sure. And I made them robust enough to stick up for themselves. But to me, any leader, I think the language is really important. So I don't like the word management, because what are you going to manage? You know, a manager, that means someone's going to boss you around. But if a leader, you have to be followed. So are you doing it right, you know? So leader is a really good word. The other word that I think is courageous. Rebecca Miller said that. She's just joined our team. And she said, you've got to have the courageous conversations. And I thought, oh, what a great word. Not confrontational. Nobody wants confrontation, but I think the courageous conversation can be when someone's being a stinky person in your environment, you just need to say, can we talk? What's going on? Like, that's the start of a courageous conversation. You know, how can I help you? Because this is not the best you. You know, so that's a courageous, whereas you just duck and hope that they go home soon. You know, that's not courageous. And having the word team instead of staff, I hate the word staff.
Oh, yes.
Mm. So close. Yes,
staff. Yeah.
Stuff. Mm. You know, staff. If someone says, I would never say, and I even heard a Simon Sinek podcast the other day where he said, don't call yourself the CEO or the founder. So now I've got to go and take that out of everything. I work for the Zing Project. I'm not the CEO. I'm not the founder. I work at the Zing Project. I'm the same. I'm on the team. So why am I saying I'm the founder? Like, what big note do you think? I don't know why I was saying it. And I thought, absolutely. So I've got to go back and cross all that off the website now. You know, and I think it's just the language that you use, you know, are you okay, instead of what's up your bum? You know, it's the same thing, but are you okay? You know, so it's the language. And I think not discipline, devotion. Be devoted to your team. Don't teach your team to be disciplined. Get them to be devoted to your business. You know, so just think about the words you can change. I'm struggling at the moment with, I'm a very, as you can tell, 100% on or off. My ex-husband used to call me gas. He said, you can't turn her down. If you turn it down, she goes out, right? So I'm trying to be in the middle. And so for me, moderation, I thought, oh, that word, I hate it. So I was taught to say middle ground. So I'm trying to find middle ground, right? A balance between the amount of time you work and the amount of time you care for yourself is middle ground. But if you say to be moderation, like, that's just like puts hackles up the back. I can't do anything in moderation. I can't. Like, if you open the chocolate, like, why would you have one row when there's more to have, you know? So, and I think it's the same. We sometimes come into the business and we're all keen and we're going to do everything and everything's wrong and it's got to all change. And then 2 weeks later, you're not doing anything. Well, that's not middle ground. Right. So it's about being consistent. I think it's really important. And this generation's a dream to work with, absolute dream to work with. You know, you just
everyone
like,
over on.
Big Bridget.
Oh, sorry.
You got to know them. You got to understand them. And when you do, they're absolute joy. Those rock star old ones, you know, I'm not saying they can't succeed, but it is harder. The same as learning a language when you're four or learning a language when you're 14. Or 24 or 34, it's just harder. It's okay. You just got to go harder if you're older learning those languages, you know?
I'd like to add something to that. You know, Melburnians, you have the time to think at the moment, right? And the truth is you either have really great employees or potentially great employees, or you've got dickheads. And too many of you have kept the dickheads for too long, right? And it's time for you to just figure it out, because when we aren't leaders, the good ones with potential sort of look like dickheads, but the truth is they're not. They're actually not. They just need a leader, right? Yeah. But then there's going to be some of those people that you're never going to get through. They're never going to reach target. They're never going to give you what you want. And you also, as a leader, have to figure that out and say, okay, they need to go and find something else to do with their lives, because they don't want to be doing this. You'll never change those people. But the others, they're not meaning to be dickheads to you. And I can promise you that. They just don't have the leadership and you being really open and honest about it. So for an example, you know, one of the biggest things in beauty therapy is when you start to sit down with a staff member, they start to cry, right? Like, they're scared, they start to cry. And then all of a sudden, either you cry or you get angry. You don't know what to do with it. And then you don't get what you need said. When somebody starts to cry, the first thing to say to them is, why are you crying? Let's figure this out. Let's talk about that. So this, you know, that's a leader. Rather than just say, they're crying, they hate me, they're going to leave me. If I say one more word, they're going to resign or something. Stop all those fears, right? Because if they are going to resign, let them resign. They're going to resign anyway, right? But often when everybody cries out of fear, or therapists cry out of fear, take that fear away. Right? Take your fear away and take their fear away and get an understanding and really figure out what's going on in their heads. Because when you do, it's actually not that bad. Mm-hmm. It really and truly isn't. I say that 90% of the dickhead therapists are convertible.
Absolutely. 99,
I really 99 think.
99 out of 100. Absolutely.
Yeah. They're looking at the 10% that aren't, you make a decision to let them go. And believe me, if they leave you, they're going to find a job in another industry because they're going to figure it out, this is not for me, right? And I think the true dickheads are the ones that don't belong with us in our industry, full stop. But figure that out. Like, take some time, sit back and think, right, who works for me? Who works for me? And do I want them to keep working for me? And if I don't, who do I want to start to look for now? Right.
And this is the beauty of the pandemic and this moment of sitting still is that we can reflect, you know, we can reflect on, you know, our team and our business, what's working, what's not working. Do we need to raise our prices? Are we profitable? You know, how are we leading the team? How are we showing up? So, you know, there's a lot of negatives about this time, but there's also a lot of positives if you use those positives. We've got lots of people laughing at the language and lots of people laughing at millennials as well. But let me tell you, I'm a Gemini, sun, moon and rising. So instead of having two twins, when you get me, you get six. So try and manage a Gemini and there you go. I want to ask everyone, if you're watching over on Facebook, please pop your questions in. I've got one more question to ask the ladies and then we'll go to a Q&A. So if you have any questions, pop them in now so that I can vet them as we go through to this next question. Vanessa, I'd love to start with you. There are people who have absolutely grown their business during this time. I was speaking to someone the other day who is 47% up on last year. There was a business owner the other day who said, I've just hit the mill and I've never hit the mill before, you know, and these types of business owners just make my heart sing. What are people who are thriving out there doing well?
I think they're doing lots of things really well. They're definitely from the business owners that are really kind of moving forward in this kind of situation are those that are maintaining momentum. And I think consistency is a great word and really kind of continuing to take steps moving forward. Even if they're not massive steps, they're just taking those little steps and continuing to kind of move forward. I think one of the other things that they're sort of doing is focusing on the things that they can make a real impact on. So focusing their time and energy and putting it on the things that are really going to make a difference. And even with team, you know, what we were just talking about, often we focus on, you know, what we'll lose by having a difficult conversation or a courageous conversation, language that I love. It's also, but we need to kind of look at what we'll gain, you know, because there's lots that you can gain in those sorts of things. And whether it's about changing behavior of the team member, whether it's about the impact that that's having on the rest of your team, you know, the impact to clients. So I think the businesses that are doing well now are having good connection with their team. And I think that they're remaining connected and good communication and sort of weathering, you know, this kind of challenging time together, even if they don't have all the answers and are uncertain, they're still remaining connected and open. And I think the other thing that business owners that are doing really well in that space are remaining very flexible and agile, and they're able to take action really quickly. Things are changing all the time, but when, you know, when the businesses are kind of agile, they can take those, you know, the opportunities come differently and they come quickly, and those that are prepared and agile will take advantage of those opportunities, act on them, and they get those wins. And I think one of the other biggest things, and I think this is one of the biggest things, is that they are driving client engagement. They have remained connected to their consumer, you know, sector and their consumer database, and they've added a lot of value during this time, and they've remained kind of top of mind with them, and that's resulted in sales for them, yes, but it's also just resulted in that loyalty and the connection. And I think that that's really, there's been an outpouring of support of people wanting to support local businesses and Victorian businesses. And, you know, that Aussie spirit kind of comes out in times like that. And those that are really well connected with their businesses and are set up that way, you know, have done a great job at capitalising on that. And I, one of the things that I've absolutely seen, and I'm sure many of the other ladies here have seen too, businesses that went into this in a healthy state, the ones that, you know, their financials were in a good place, they were, you know, operating their business well, they have moved through this much better and weathered the storm, you know, much better than those that are sort of trying to play catch up as they've gone through. And I think, you know, also the ones that have been a little bit real with themselves and a bit kind, you know, you're going to have an off day and it's okay to kind of acknowledge that. But, you know, tomorrow you'll be in a different space and you'll, you know, double down and go for it again. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some of the things that we've seen, and I think there's some amazing results out there, absolutely amazing. Yeah, in terms of understanding, obviously, government stimulus and everything else that's happened, but also how you apply that and making it work for your business and staying on top of those sorts of things in a constructive way, not the noise and the stuff that doesn't really work, but in a constructive way.
So connection on all levels, connection, pardon me, with ourselves and the business, our teams and our clients and good people and good systems around us. That sounds amazing. Faye,
on that, I think it's also those that have asked for support. You know, they've sought support. They've, you know, whether it's from other business owners, communities, you know, these ladies on the call, like it's been a really important thing, and I'm sure everyone's kind of seen that.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Faye, over to you. What have you seen people who are thriving do?
This is not Victoria. This is the rest of the country. But every other state, I have never seen growth like I've experienced in so many salons in the other states. Why? I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the saying, your energy equals 20%. In some cases, your energy's been equaling 40, 45, 50%. And I think there was a fear factor there. I really need to manage my business. I really need to lead my business. I need to do marketing. I need to do this because we don't know what's coming. And so I think a lot of people who are really good at what they do anyway have worked just that bit stronger and a devoted energy into those areas that have made a huge difference. I've done a lot of work with managing teams, with working with teams, and I think that and all of the girls, I'm sure, have done this. So leaders have looked at their teams and said, what can I do to really work with them? So I think and one of the best questions that I can say to somebody is, how's your cash flow? And because of JobKeeper and because of the fact that there's been increases in business, people are going, it's great. And when you're feeling good about the success you're getting out of your business, you want to keep driving it. So we are coming to the end of JobKeeper, and that is going to bring a whole lot of new dynamics into it. But most good business owners have built their cash flow during this period. Mm-hmm. They really have done that. But it's been a great period to be part of because there's been some big successes out there, massive successes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Lisa, what is that?
So I think further to what Faye was saying, I think, you know, the ones that have played their own lane as well and just stuck to, you know, who they really are and, you know, followed that path, I think have fared very well.
And yes, I say this all the time. Sorry, Lisa. I just want to add on to you, Vanessa. I say this all of the time of the dory fish business owner, you know, the business owner that gets so excited about the colorful and the shiny and the smells nice. And, you know, I'm kind of excited this year that Beauty Expo in person is not going on because that's when I see all of the dory fishes come out because they get excited by all the new machinery and all the new products. You know, I'm happy we're moving into the virtual space, but that's for sure. So sorry about that, Lisa.
A couple of things I think which have really made it easier for, and would be the same for all the guys. You don't have anyone saying, will you walk into my salon and coach me that way now? You know, I think people have accepted Zoom. Even the same with the team meeting, you know, like, oh, they can't have a team meeting that day because Susie's on a day off. We'll pop her on Zoom. You know, so I think we've realised and that technology is our friend. The other thing that I think they've embraced retail, like some of them are just absolutely nailing their retail. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. One of our salons has got 90 clients virtually. They don't ever live anywhere near her. It's across Australia. So she's got 90 clients that are virtually. She didn't have those before they came along. I think staying curious about what else is available and who's doing what, and I think all of you in this room know exactly what other salons are doing. So we have all that privilege information. Mm-hmm. So that's a byproduct of being with a coach. But staying curious, but staying in your lane, I think. You know, like get in line, stay in line is the thing that we have. Like you said, the bright and shiny, Vanessa said. You know, and there is, you know, profitable is boring. It's boring. Right? You just got to know your numbers in, your numbers out. You've got to call clients back, the clients that didn't return, all of that stuff, you know, and this is the boring shit, but that's what you need to do. So as much as staying curious as to what people are doing, but get in line, stay in line, be consistent. But the greatest thing that people have done is connect with their clients. Like if you just ring, 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 you know, bugger the email, blah, database, blah, 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 you know, how are you going? Pick up the phone. Like, The amount of people that have just called me because they know my son's not well, and it's just delightful. And you have a little chat, and then you end up swapping a number of somebody that you know can help them, and they give you a number of someone that you can help them. So if you were just to connect to your clients, and the wonderful thing about beauty as opposed to hair is, you know, 20% happens in the clinic and 80% is the care at home, right? Whereas in the salon, 80%, you can get away with 80%, get your cut done, get your colour done, bugger off. And if you don't use the best shampoo, it's not the end of the world. In beauty, it's the other way, right? So there's an incredible market there for those who, like Vanessa said, pivoted quickly and didn't go, oh, I must get around to that. They got around to it. They got onto it. It's been incredible. And so much so that they haven't been able to get JobKeeper because they didn't drop enough. And that's without a person working in their door. So it's, I think they've really realised that they do have the connection with the clients. And for once, clients truly value what we do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I really think, like, I've got a couple of hairs here. Like, you know, I've got to find the tweezers, but it's like a tree trunk, you know. And I think we've all got something bushy going on. Like,
that's
terrible. I remember
I'm sitting far away.
When I was about 46 or something, when I had all my hair removed, armpits, everything. And I said to my daughter, so I sent her off to a salon to do it. And she didn't want to have her bush done. And I said, why wouldn't you have your bush done? She goes, oh, mine come back in fashion. Well, I think it has in Melbourne anyway. I said, bush won't come back in. She said, it might. And I thought, she said, well, not at your age, Mum, but it might at my age. Well, you know what? She was right, wasn't she?
You're a crack up. Definitely flexibility is the key word there. Bridget, what are people that you are working with and seeing out there doing really well at the moment?
I mean, as you guys know, I specialize in beauty and even more specialized in beauty salons that are skin focused, right? So that's my specialty. And I think that when we were first locked down, when the whole country was first locked down and people had the time, they took the time to really think about why they are good or why they are not good. And if a skin salon wants to be good, you've got to deliver the promise. The salons that are doing well now are delivering the promise. And what's the promise? Great skin, younger skin, no acne. In hair, it's a lot easier in the sense that they deliver the promise almost every time they go, a client sits in the chair, right? You can go in with the worst hair and you can come out with a really great style. And you pay a lot of money for it, but you think it's worth it. With skin, it doesn't work like that. With skin, the promise takes time. It takes a series of treatments. It takes a full home care regime. And so beauty salons lose a lot of clients because they don't deliver the promise. And yet we also charge a lot of money. So it's, for me, for my clients, it's been the one that took the time really early and finally got that if you want retention, if you want a great business, if you want a client all year round, it's all about delivering extraordinary service and extraordinary results, right? And that's when people will come to you, because they're not going to get that proof in that first treatment. They're not. It's just not going to happen. So to build that trust is to making sure that you don't let somebody walk out with just one product. You don't let somebody have a course of treatments and do one today, one in 3 months, and one in 8 months. You do the proper follow-up, because a course of treatments needs to be done in a short period of time. And one serum is not going to cut it. So if a client doesn't want to buy everything, and I don't mean everything at once, I mean, if they don't want to engage in the whole prescription, then you are going to do a much better job saying, well, then engage in nothing, right? We want people to understand that skincare is not a cleanser. Skincare is not a serum. It's a combination of everything, right? And it's the salons that have finally stepped up and gone into programs and gone into doing real prescriptions and straight away saying, well, here's 10 to 12 products I need you to buy. Let's start off today with these two, right? But they know that then there's the next one and then the next one and the next one. So I'm not saying sell it all at once. What I'm saying is get the engagement all at once, right? And so many, I mean, I've been preaching this for 100 years, but I've had so many flip because they finally had the time to sit back and think. They were forced. That's why there is something good out of everything that's bad, that you've got to go look for it. This is the time. And I'm going to say it again, what I said right at the beginning. You keep saying you don't have the time, at least Melburnians, you've got it now. Start coming up with a strategy. Start figuring out what's not right. Why don't I have retention? And then what am I going to do about that? Right? And last piece of advice. If you want your clients to buy skincare and to have treatments, then you better have skincare. You better have the treatments. Because there's too many of you out there with shitty skin. Right? You want people to have great skin and you want them to have 12 products in their regime, you better have them and you better be using them. And I've got clients that say to me, well, Bridget, I do. I go, no, you don't. I can see it. You don't. Like, let's get real. Let's get honest. You're also a leader that way, by the way, right? You follow the leader. Follow me because I use the skincare. I have the treatments. Don't tell me you don't have time to have treatments. That's part of your job. That's part of your job, is to figure out that a course of these six treatments are going to render this result. I was only talking to somebody yesterday and she came up with this, you know, great promotion. And I said, okay, well, how long will it take? She said 6 weeks. I said, well, you're 6 weeks away from doing the promotion because you've got to get your case study done to prove that it's actually going to do what you said it was going to do, right? And of course, she needs to be one of them and pull in a few more people. Deliver the promise or don't promise. But deliver the promise. We promise that, right? And therefore, you've got to deliver, because what we do is a lot of money. $150 for a facial is a hell of a lot of money, guys. It really is.
I don't think it's a lot of money if it delivers what I want.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of money, so you better deliver results. Like, you
they can't just, they, exactly. They got to buy what they sell. They're selling something they don't buy. So when did they go and have a treatment in an anonymous place? Just to be a client, to experience what?
Absolutely. Or even in your own place. Have it in your own place. And whilst the therapist is giving you the treatment, if you think she could be doing it in a better way or saying something else, then help her then. When I had my salon, I remember this is what I said to my girls. The minute I cross that threshold, I am Bridget the client, not Bridget the boss. Nobody in my business could give me treatments without treating me like a client. Right? There was none of this chit-chatty, Bridget. It was like, so that I could hear what they're saying, you know, and feel what they're doing and go, well, how about you try this? Why don't we say it this way? Right? I had to get into my history. I had more treatments than anybody I knew. And I didn't see that as a luxury. People go, oh, you're so lucky you can have that. I go, it's not luck. It's part of my job. It's part of my job description. So what, guys, what are you doing? You want to sell a course of peels? Ask yourself, when was the last time you had a set of peels? Right? It's when you get into that, it's just so much easier to sell, by the way. I can sell ice to the Eskimos. Oh, by the way, when it comes to skincare, ask me to sell anything else. I'm the worst salesperson because I don't know anything about anything else, but I know a lot about skincare. Right. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm not a beauty therapist, never have been, but I believe in what I do. I believe in what you guys do. And I speak from here. not from here, right? So you be that leader to the clients. Be that leader to your therapist. When therapists didn't buy skincare from me, I'd go, what's going on? When was the last time you purchased a serum? Oh, Bridget, I can't afford it. You can't afford 50% of what you expect your clients to pay? Did I hear that right? You are saying that I can't afford a $60 cleanser to pay 30 for it, but you think you should tell your client to pay 60. That's when you figure out who's working for me. I want to have treatments during working times. Really? You want me to pay you to have a facial and pay somebody else to give it? But you expect your client to do it at her lunchtime or at night or take a day off. It doesn't make sense, but yet you all accept it. It doesn't make sense. If we work in that industry, we have to believe in what we do and we have to practice what we do. And if you want your team to practice what they do, you do it first. Right? Absolutely. You want to send a gift to your girls? You know what? Send them all a mask in the mail. So I just thought this would be nice for you to have.
I'll give you my address. You can send me one. I'll have it.
You send me colour and I'll send you masks, right?
We're getting lots of amens and lots of hallelujahs over here from you preaching over there, Bridget. And I always come back to,
Bridget. Really sort the world out, love.
That's it. But I always come back to, you know, even if you, you know, put it in a practical level and you could not explain what a strawberry tastes like if you had never had a strawberry in your life. So it's the exact same. How can you explain the benefit of the cleanser or, you know, the texture of the serum or the outcome of that if you've never had that? And likewise, how can you value the service if you've never had 8 peels yourself or if you've never had a course of skin needling yourself? You just don't know what that feels like. And you can't say to a client, oh, it feels like little tiny ants running over the skin, because maybe it doesn't actually feel like that just because the trainer's told you, you know, you need to get on the bed and, you know, doing a little quick mini facial and popping on a peel or a mask while you drive home is not enough either. You need to be the client. We've got lots of questions coming through on all of them.
They're vegetarians, don't work in butcher shops. They don't.
Exactly right.
If you don't have that really strong core belief that this is what your skin needs, and what are you doing? Like, you can't get a vegetarian to work in a butcher shop. You just can't. Right. So if you're a beauty therapist and you don't use and love your own product, what are you doing? Get out of there.
Go find something that is fun.
We've got lots of people asking about everybody's programs and all of your courses and coaching and things like that. And I know you've all been so kind offline to tell us all about your resources and connection calls and things like that, which you're all offering, which is so lovely. But we won't go into that now, but I will grab all of those details from you when we jump off, and I will put them all into a link so that everyone can go on there. And obviously whoever resonates with whoever's message, is always best suited that way. I do want to finish off with just one question because we've got 10 minutes left. Just give me a bullet point or two about what excites you about the rest of 2020. I mean, I know everyone's throwing 2020 under the bus. We're calling it the blackout year. You know, everyone's just going back to 2019 and on to 2021. But surely there's got to be something that you are excited about for the end of the year, even if it's just being able to walk more than 5Ks. You know, what does that look like for you guys?
Well, I think there's a lot of growth, you know. Like, I just think this has been an incredible year because there's so much learning. If you're prepared to learn, if you're prepared to fall over and pick yourself up and keep going, like, I'm blown away at how the coaches have banded together and, you know, and how they've, and because I've had a rough time with my son being sick, they just said, go, Lise. You know, I just said, if my son takes his life because I'm at work, I'll never live with myself. And they said, just go. We've got you. You know, so to me, what it's been is an incredible year of growth. The amount of clients, like Faye said before, they are cashed up. right? There's so many that have got money in the bank for the first time ever. They've got their buckets all sorted, all the money's going in the right places, and it's been a big lesson. You know, like I said, they've embraced technology. It's been an incredible time, and I believe that if they were all here, some went up and some went down, right? I don't know the ones that went down. I honestly don't, because they're not the ones that put their hand up and said, I wanted a coach in the first place. So probably the same with all of you guys. You're dealing with the people that put their hand up in the first place. It's the same as parent-teacher interview. My husband was a teacher, and he used to say, I saw all the parents of the kids I didn't need to see. So if you're being coached, you're in a great spot. You know, if you're with Vanessa, you're with Bridget, or with Faye, or with your Zing project, you're good. You're going to be good, right? So it's time when we just got serious about business. And I think for the first time in a very long time, people are taking what we do as business coaches fair dinkum, right? No one wants to be in this position again. You need at least 4 months trading in a spare account. And for a lot of them, they have it now. It's an incredible time. So, yes, it's been a shitsville, whatever, but, you know what, get on with it. We've all been, well, I shouldn't say we've all been. I've been through a divorce, so I know that there's some dark, dark times that you think, this is horrible, telling your children that you're going to separate. You know, the one of the worst days of my life. But I've also showed how to be a wonderful divorced mum and how to still parent in separate homes and still be together. And, you know, so there's so much that good that can come out of a shitsville situation if you're prepared to look. Right? And the place you need to look is you. That's where you need to look, right? So I just think it's an incredible opportunity. It's been a tough year, but who knows what next year brings? I don't know. The only people without any complaints are dead. That's it. Get in the race, enjoy it, live, show up, dust yourself down, learn, say, oh, that was dumbass. Get back in the line and keep going, because that's what leadership's about. You know, fail forward.
Amazing advice.
Beautiful. I went to the park on Sunday for a walk with a friend, and we saw so many families and men, right? Even in Melbourne, you know, everybody's keeping distance with the mask and whatever, but we saw a lot of men in the park with children. And I remember saying to my girlfriend, you know, I really hope they've learned that this is a great thing to do. It's not just for mums to take the children to the park, because obviously they're forced to stay home. They've got nothing to do, so they go, oh, I'll come along and whatever. And then you see also way more people exercising. Like for a start, I've got nothing to do, so I go in and exercise, and I don't exercise, by the way, but I've been exercising, and I'm thinking, you know what, that taught me something as well. It's taught me salon owners have sat back and started thinking about what's real and whatever. There is good out of this. There is good out of this. So look at your own business and say, what good did come out of it, right? And there is something. And if there isn't, reach out to one of us and we will help you dig it out, right? But there is. There is something. This was meant to be. This was supposed to happen. I saw a meme that killed me. One woman said, I'm not counting 2020 because I didn't get anything from it. And so I'm still going to be 58. And I went, oh, I like that. You know, my next birthday, instead of being 59, I'm going to be 58 because 2020 doesn't count. So I'm going to go for that too. But there is good. There really is good. You just got to dig deep and then focus on that. Dig deep, focus on that. You know, this was meant to happen to us, and I believe for the betterment of us. I really do. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a particularly spiritual person as such, but I believe there's a message for us. And some of us are receiving it. It's good.
Vanessa, what excites you about the rest of the year?
You know, I know through this time for me personally, I've grown immensely, and my learnings have been huge. And even within kind of Loft, we've made a lot of changes to how we do business and, you know, what the future looks like. And it's actually brought a new sense of energy. It's kind of invigorated me in many ways, because you can look at different ways of doing things and watching, you know, some of the clients that we work with as well sort of go through that process. And it's almost like if you were starting your business today and you took out a blank piece of paper, you know, what would it look like? And a lot of that is some of the innovation that's happened during this time, seeing that even evolve further and continue to the future is kind of exciting. So, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm also excited that there's you know, the resilience that has been demonstrated by people is amazing. And some of the businesses and the business owners are in a better place than they've been in a long time, despite the challenge that's actually happened. And I think we need to kind of celebrate, you know, that process. And I think it's important that we kind of, you know, acknowledge where that journey that we've kind of been on. But the biggest thing for me, I can't wait to reconnect with people definitely reconnect with kind of clients. I can't wait to have my hair done. We were talking earlier and it's like, for me, that on a personal note, that's something that I'm really looking forward to kind of happening. But I think it's about, I think this time has given a lot of perspective on a lot of different aspects, and I'm excited to kind of carry that new perspective forward and, you know, and see what the future holds. And I think there's some exciting things ahead. So there's always, you know, there is always that silver lining. I think it's just, you know, finding where that lies for you and taking your journey in that. Yeah,
beautiful. Well said. That's me, last but not least, Faye. Yeah.
I've got a minute and a half. Tamara, the rest this time every year, one of the fun things that I do is I plan my Christmas marketing kit. And this is something that everyone is going to have time to plan this year is Christmas. We are hoping that Victoria beauty salons get open. I'm hoping before, but I'm the eternal optimist. So what I did last weekend, I didn't go to tap dancing. I didn't go to lunch with the girls. I worked all weekend on reviewing my Christmas marketing kit, and it's not quite ready yet. It's due to come out on the 1st of October, but I put this together for everybody every year, a whole bunch of ideas that I've had tried and tested, and then I try and add a whole lot. Tamara, am I allowed to say if anybody wants it, they can have it? My PA will kill me, but maybe just send me a message with an email. I'm happy to give it to you. It normally only goes to my clients. I don't sell it. I don't put it out there, but I would love to share that if it helps anybody in any state, whether it's Victoria or anywhere else. But it's Christmas is going to come really fast, and Victorians, mm-hmm. you've got time to plan it and plan for that last 5-6 weeks, whatever you've got, to make it the best you possibly can. And everybody else in other states, plan it as well, because I think it's going to be okay in the other states coming into Christmas. So make the most of it.
Absolutely. I'll be popping in all of your resources and documents and connection calls and numbers into a big Google Drive folder or something. We'll work out offline so that we can share those. But I'd just love to say thank you so much. We've got people drinking wine and cooking and wearing face masks and all types of things over here, and lots of love. So just one more time, Faye Murray from Your Coach, Vanessa Main from Loft Inc., Bridget Benj from Cream Solutions, and Lisa Conway from The Zing Project. All of you have online coaching programs, virtual Zoom coaching. So no matter where you are, if you're in Vic, if you're not, definitely jump onto these ladies. And thank you so much for coming on tonight and having a chat. I really appreciate 90 minutes of your time and just giving hope and strength to everyone.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thanks for being here.
And it was an absolute pleasure. Anytime.
Good girl. Thanks, Tamara.
Perfect.
Today's episode would not have been possible without the very generous contribution of time and expertise from our guest speakers, Vanessa Main, Bridget Benj, Faye Murray, and Lisa Conway. Each of these ladies have featured on the podcast on episodes of their own, where we looked at their inspiring career pathways and the life lessons they have learnt along the way. So feel free to tune into those ones if you are interested. Thank you so much for your support and your sharing, your reviews and your ratings. Until next time, stay connected.